You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 16. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God, here we are, we've opened thy word, and Spirit of God, you gave that, you kept it for us. And here we are to read it. So deal with us. Thank you for making it all come out. In Christ's name, amen. In our process of studying the upper room, remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is hours away from his crucifixion, as we shared. And in the process, he has encouraged their heart with awesome truth, awesome assignment, a beautiful, awesome, unbelievable mission, a wonderful exercise of life that they could never dream. His life would now be their life, and his life in them would be enjoyed and exercised, and they were to, it's an awesome thing. But they're not in the place to get that. And God tells them in his wonderful kindness, as we shared together in chapter 16, God told them, he forewarned them, I'll read it, it's very quickly, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended, stumble, tripped, trapped, tripped, stumble over, tricked. Verse 2, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time will come that whosoever killeth you will think they doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. And these things have I all told you that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you them of them. And these things I said unto you, I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. So we did those verses to think and understand them a little bit. And in the process, God had foretold them they were to be understanding. So they're going to go. They have an assignment, but the assignment is in the world. And they're going to find that that assignment, at the all that the Lord Jesus Christ faced in his perfect humanity, is going to fall on them. Because he's going to be gone, he's the head, the believers are going to be his body, as it were, and the body is still on earth, and the body's going to get clipped. The head's in heaven, so it's one thing, but to be on earth is still another. And therefore, he warns them, he gives them forewarning, so that they would understand that the wonderful, awesome, impossible assignment that was now made possible, was going to be made possible. They had to understand that when that happens, you have to understand the other side of the coin, you're going to get clipped when that happens, because the world loves darkness rather than light. They don't want to have right when they can have wrong, and they would rather call evil good and good evil, and they just don't want to fix anything, see anything, understand anything. So therefore, their hour, his hour was coming, and their hour was not far behind. Therefore, here's the cross coming, and they were to understand, and that's what they did. They didn't understand, but they did understand. They didn't understand that he's going to be crucified. He told them that. He made it very clear. But just all the ingredients of the trial and everything, they didn't understand that. They wouldn't have understood him carrying his cross to Calvary's hill. They wouldn't have understood that. But they're going to find it out. They're going to experience it in an awesome way. And therefore, all they know is it's going to terminate and Christ is going to end whatever his mission was as they understood it. And therefore, all they could see was prison and death. And hatred, he told them, hate, they're going to hate you, and you're going to face awesome hostility. So they could have all that, But having said all that, the Lord, and remember we shared together in verse 4, and the Lord made it clear after verses 1, 2, and 3, I'm not going to tell you anymore. I could tell you all kinds of things and how they're going to happen and when they're going to happen, but I'm not going to tell you anymore. You have enough to understand that things are going to be different after I'm gone. They're going to be wonderfully different in your heart with God. They're going to be awesomely different in your world, in the world in which you live. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so now was his hour, as we shared together, and he's going to go, and they are not going to look. Let me go quickly to verse 5. In contrast, it's a contrast. But now I go my way to him that sent me. I'm going to go. He just said to them, I'm not going to tell you anymore. I'm not going to tell you anymore. Verse 4. You have enough information, and we shared that last time, so we apply it to our heart. Wouldn't it be good if God told you all the things that were going to be and how they're going to be a year from now so that you could plan properly? God doesn't do that, fortunately. We couldn't handle it for nothing. And therefore, God just doesn't. We're to trust him with all our heart, and that's what they were to do. They were warned that they were going to need to trust him. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, but now, verse 5, I go my way, and they did not. Now, are they looking to understand more? No, they're overwhelmed. They're literally overwhelmed. They were overwhelmed with all of the things he was telling them, that whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it, etc., 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 and they didn't get that. If you've seen me, John 14:9, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They didn't get that. They didn't get that yet. And they were just told they're going to get clipped and clobbered and hunted and killed and persecuted and hated. And they didn't. That just blew them away. You can understand that. And they just stopped thinking. It took over in their head and heart. So therefore, they are not looking to understand. And their personal lives are caught up in what he has told them, because that was directly to them. You can't go in the synagogues. They're going to persecute you, kill you, and all of that. And remember, we shared together last time or so that all 12 apostles, including the new one in Acts 12 and Acts chapter 1, and Paul and Barnabas, all of them were brutally killed. Brutally killed. Their history, according to the history, they brutally were put to death. They weren't put to death nicely. They were put to death horribly, by slaying, being cut to pieces and everything. Wow. That's how they were treated. Now, so they don't understand that yet at all. So now, they have no good sense of how or why things should be. They don't have that. And all they see is their life is coming to an end. Everything in their world that they have given themselves up to, from their former fishermen, tax collectors, to their 3 1/3 years with him, all of it's all over. And so therefore, they saw an ending. They did not see a beginning. All they did was see an end. They couldn't see the beginning. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, here we are in John chapter 16 and in verse 5. But now I go my way to him that sent me. I'm going to go away. Now, they've been forewarned, and they needed to hear and heed and pay attention. The necessary relationship was needed. He told them, John 15, the vine and the branch. The branch has to stay attached to the vine on a 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week basis, and that it is to stay that way. And any time it disconnects from that vine, it will not be able to function and fulfill. It'll face the realities of the world around it, around the branch, and it will lose the realities of when it's attached and the wonderful life that would flow in it. It will lose them. So therefore, they have to stay attached. And he makes it clear in John 15:5, remember, without me, without that attachment, you can do nothing. Nothing means nothing. So you don't have to have a big thing. Zero means zero. There's nothing going to happen. The two things are there. Nothing's going to happen unless you abide, as we said in Wednesday prayer. Pray without ceasing. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, I'm going to go my way to him that sent me. I'm going my way to him that sent me. And as I go my way, I'm contrasting. What am I contrasting? Because, remember the end of verse 4, because I was, these things I said unto not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. Now I told you these things. I told you them. And remember now as you're reading, it's awesome. If you have to just think, he says it. If you were there, and we were there in his presence now as he did these things. Chapter 16, verse 1, verse 2 words. These things have I spoken unto you. Verse 3, these things will they do unto you. Verse 4, these things have I told you. Wow. Now, hang on to that. Now, God, you told them all these things. I did. I told them all these things, and they aren't catching on. My hour is present. I'm going to go. There's nothing going to change. Everything is, there's no comments from them. All he's doing is giving them A, B, C, D, E. Just think of being ready to leave the ship if you're going to go and land on the beach or whatever you're doing in some battlefield or something, or operating room. They're going to start to do the operation and everyone roll up their sleeves. We're going to go, and it's now. So when it's now, you've either paid attention to your weapons, to everything, paid attention to the surgery and what you're going to do and what your part is, or you haven't. But it's now. Hang on to that. So therefore, and picking that up, so they know this. Chapter 12. In chapter 12 of John, they knew it. Here's just a couple, just a reminder. Remind us and them. Verse 23, Jesus answered them saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. He's going to be glorified. Wow. Chapter 13. Picking up, if I can. You'll catch it in verse 30. 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Judas went out to hang himself, to betray him and ultimately to hang himself. Verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. Verse 32, if God be glorified in him, in Christ, God shall also glorify him in himself. God will honor himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Now that they listened to that, and it was all about God being honored, glorified, lifted up, exalted. There was nothing dark in it. It was all light, wonderful, bright light, awesome light that you'd have to say, whatever it is, it's wonderful, exuberant, being exuberant, etc. Wow. But they didn't catch that. They didn't catch that. They didn't catch it at all. Nope. So therefore, Therefore, if we can, in verse 60, chapter 16, verse 5. And none of you are asking me, whither, where am I going? None of you are asking me where I'm going. Do you want to know what place I'm going to? I want to know, do you care about what place I'm going to? Now, where are you going? Now, why would he say that to them? Where are they going? Where am I going? He's trying to help them. He's been trying to help them, but they aren't ready. They aren't ready, but he continues it because that's why we're able to read it. So that they went through this, and we're able to follow it and put the pieces together so that we understand the urgency and the dynamic of what was going to happen to them and to their world in which they lived. And they needed to understand what would happen when Christ went to his death, the hour was coming, minutes away, hours away, and he was going to die on the cross. And the dynamic of that, the wonderment of that, was because he was glorifying God the Father. And the Father was applauding. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. That before anything was ever created. God, it was his plan. Wow. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, God, so therefore, it's in where, and what place, etc. What place? Do you not want to know where I'm going? Now, hang on. Go back with me just to get a little more connecting for things. Back to chapter 13. John in chapter 13. And picking up, if I may, in thought. May I go? You'll catch the flavor of it. Remember, our Lord's in the upper room still in the beginning. And here in chapter 13, in verse 33, little children, yet a little while, that's what he called them, because they were. He's the Father. Little children, yet a little while I am with you, and ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come, and how, and now I say to you. And now, having said that, sliding down, Peter's going to respond. And Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither, there's your little word, where are you going? And then Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me. You can't go because I'm going to the cross. But thou shalt follow me afterwards, etc., which you were looking at in John chapter 16. Verse 37, Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thee. And he's going to do all of it. He's committed. Did he understand? He didn't get an answer. Where are you going? No, he didn't. Now, God, what did you do? You helped Peter. You helped him. Peter, you're going to go and betray me, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, God, how did you encourage Peter and the rest of them? Because here's Peter asking, and Peter's told he can't go anywhere. Now, why aren't they? They're asking. Now, God, what did you tell them so directly? Chapter 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. Where are you going? I'm going to prepare a place for you. Uh-huh. And if I go and prepare a place for you, which I am, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Why are you going to come? That where I am, you may be also. I want you to be able to be where I am. That's what I want. Wow. Now, I told you that. He said, now, what do you want? I told you, I'm going to go. I'm going for you. I'm going to bring you home. I'm going to bring you to my Father. That's what I'm going to do. Now, Peter, did you catch on? Did any of you catch on? Did any of you catch what he just said? He's going to go. They didn't catch it. They didn't get it.
So now, what do you, and go slide down to verse 28. Chapter 14, verse 28. And pick up the thought again. And you have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Wow. You should be so excited. But they aren't excited. And therefore, when you come to chapter 16, and in verse 5, I should say, he's going to ask the question, aren't you guys interested in where I'm going? The reason, that he's trying to help in contrast. I just told you what's going to happen, enough that you, all you need to know, and I'm going to go to my Father. And you guys, I've tried to help you, tried to say it to you, you're just not listening. Where am I going? Do you understand where I'm going and why? It ought to be, it's to glorify God, and it's a wonderfully exciting time for you. They didn't catch it, they just didn't catch it. So therefore, none of you are asking, none of them were asking, looking. And therefore, they're slow of heart to believe, like it's going to be after the resurrection. Remember Luke 24, he said to the two disciples, why are you so slow of heart to believe what I told you? And the Lord Jesus had told them, Matthew 16, 21, I told you, I had to be crucified, suffer, buried, persecuted, everything, and rise again. Now I told you that's what had to happen. But they didn't catch that. They didn't catch that. No, not yet. They heard it, but they didn't catch it. No, not yet. So therefore, here they are going, and God, you're going to show them your wonderful words. You're the way. I am going my way, verse 5. My way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Well, your way is going to get us to God. That's right. But we didn't catch that either. We didn't catch that. So therefore, here we are looking. And where am I going? The things shocked them, so shocked them. It stopped their thinking. They stopped thinking. And all they could see was death. And the disciples' will was what were they going to do? They're going to be abandoned to all the repercussions and trials and troubles that lie ahead. And that's all they could see. That's all they understood. Now, so therefore, another contrast greater than that. Because you didn't get what, do you know where I'm going? No, we haven't got that. And God said, well, listen, let me drive the nail home extra hard this time. And he's going to tell them where they are, what their problem was. Verse 6. Because I have said these things. Verse 1, verse 3, verse 4. I've been telling you these things so you'd understand. And because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled thy heart. Your heart is full of sorrow. Wow, sorrow, grief, sorry, to be mind, an uneasy mind is the word. Uneasy mind, sorrow, grief, suffering, having anguish, our English word, sorrow, a painful anguish, they're angry. The whole, you can understand, the whole thing is coming to an end, and they aren't hearing the awesome benefits of it. They just don't understand. Their heart's full of sorrow. Hang on now. We'll just catch that one a little bit. If you would, over to the Gospel of Mark. And Mark and chapter 14. We'll catch it for us. Mark and chapter 14, picking up, if I may, in verse 17. Now remember, this is in the upper room. And in the evening, he cometh with the 12, and as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily, I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And here they are all there, 12 around the table, verse 19. And they began to be sorrowful. There's your little word, grieve. grieve. Why? Who could possibly want to betray you? Who could possibly go against you? And that included them all. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him, and one by one, is it, and you can understand the sorrow, the anguish, is it I? And another said, is it I? Am I the one that's going to do this? You see. That's awesome. Grief. No. Yes. Now, do it again. Over, if you would please, to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 22. And in Luke 22, may I pick up, please, again. This is in the garden before his crucifixion, his trial, etc. 22, picking up, please, in verse 42, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Verse 14. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. It was such a stress. The body isn't just sweating, the body is bleeding. Wow. He didn't want to have to go. And what's making him do that? The anguish, the grief, the sorrow of having to bear your sin and mine on Calvary's cross. That's why he bled. It was so terrible. But who knows? What's my little sin? So I get saved, I don't get saved. I look to God, I don't look to God. We have no sense of why Christ died. He said, you have no idea the terrible dilemma you're in if you don't know me. You have no idea whatsoever. So what's a little death? What's a little hell? Hold it. It's forever. Do you understand? This is for a moment. Your heart's going to beat for a few days. That's forever. I don't know. I'd get saved if it was me. That's what I'd do. But I'm saved. I'm not saved. I'm not saved because of me. I'm saved because you're saved, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, hang on. So here he is. And therefore, verse 46. Let me read verse 45. And when he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples, and he found them sleeping for sorrow. Why couldn't the three of them, Peter, James, and John, were given a stone's throw away as his body was bleeding in his anguish? And it was so awesome, stressful, grief, painful grief. They slept. Couldn't handle it. The same as pain. You can stand pain, but there's a pain level that will come that you can't stand, and you won't be able to because you'll be out when pain reaches that level. And everyone's different pain levels, you know. Now, so having said that a little bit, back over, if you would, to John. And chapter 16. And in John chapter 16, if I can, picking up in thought. Therefore, because I said these things, sorrow hath filled your heart, and filled your heart now with anguish. Now, I want to get that part of it, if I can. And now, just to see what happens, filled your heart so that. Why were they blind? They couldn't see. Why was their mind short-circuited so it couldn't think? What was it that they couldn't grab hold of what he was saying, these things, because they went in such a way, and the mind and the heart, the sorrow, the grief, shut them off. And when that happens, nothing else gets in. And I'm going to try to illustrate it, if I can. I was looking for things, but I didn't find them so much. Now, I'm going to go, and I was going to have a pile of hymn books and stuff, but then I'd be walking all over, and I'm trying to not move and everything, to sit here. Now, so here we are. So, first your imagination. I got a pile of hymn books. Ready? I got, I got 25 hymn books. Can you imagine? I want you to think about it. 25 hymn books, and you're standing up with 25 hymn books in your hand. You got it? Now, you have to use your imagination, and you do have them. And here's your so now I want you to bend down and pick up my little book down here. Can you do it? You want to do it, but what's happening? Your whole thing is so full. You can't afford to do anything because it's full. You can't. Can't do it, okay? Got that part. Now, now, here's the next thing. Now, here we are, and here we are. Now, I want you to go and pick up the pile of hymn books, 20 of them, make believe. And they're there. So here's my hands, and I'm carrying my tissues for all my sorrows and suffering and grief. I got them. And I got my other things in my life, and here I am. So now I want you to go and pick up the hymn books. Make believe. You got these things in your hand. Can you pick up the 20 hymn books? Why not? Because your hands are full, aren't they? Right? They're full. Nothing, not a trick, you're just full. You can't pick them up. You can't pick them up because your hands are full. Now, so God, what are you saying? That's what they were. Their heart was full. And they had no room in their head and in their heart to understand. Because it's full. Full of what? Full of their fears and fright and thinking and failure to understand and their ignorance and their darkness and their stupidity. They weren't able to catch it. And there was nothing wrong with that. That's true for all of us. They weren't able to catch it. So their heart was full of sorrow. And therefore they had nothing. So all the things that he says, here come the things, but you can't get them because your hands are full. There's no room for these things. There's no room to get them. No room to get them. Now, God, what are we going to do? We have to learn from it, which I'll try to do that. God, what are you telling us? We got to have not so much a heart so full of stuff. And we work, homeschool, play, headache, heartaches, just general growing up and life's everything that you do in your world and work and homeschool, play, sickness, health. Wow. I'm so full. And then you got the, you got your little smartphone or your ticker, your translator or your texter or your whatever you got coming, and all the messages are coming in, beep, beep, beep. Well, however they do it, I don't know how they come. Pretty soon they'll put a chip inside of you, and guess what? You won't have to do any of this. It'll just keep chipping right in here, and you won't need an alarm clock or anything. It'll just keep going, and you'll have it. You won't have to think anymore. You, like on the phone, they don't need to answer. They just have artificial intelligence talk to you. And ever talk to the people on the other phone that aren't people? And you tell them, and they say, would you please repeat that? Would you say, and then finally, yes, say yes or no. See, don't try to explain it to them. Just say yes or no. That's what they want to know. Okay. I had a call in a prescription this morning, and that's what she said. Just say yes or no. I say, that's so. There we go. Now, so here we are, God, and we don't have any room. We got filled up. Why are we reading? Why are we thinking? Why are we here? What are we doing? God, you want what? These things, here come these things. They should have received them. And they will. On day of Pentecost, all of this will become very real. What do I need to do with my hands? I need to be able not to have my hands full. I don't want to be that full. I have to always make sure that I have one hand for these things, for God and His Word. My old nature isn't going to go away. I got to live with this rascal. I got to live with it day and night. I'm not going to escape. But I want to have in my hand God's wonderful, what He did for me. He went and died on the cross and gave me His wonderful life. Hang on. That's called the gospel good news. And I don't want all this news to be left without good news. Do you understand? So that everything that comes in your little head and heart, no matter what, good, bad, nice, happy, don't even care. It doesn't matter. All of it has to be weighed against God's word, God's good news. And that's what God has given you, good news. If I don't keep this hand free and keep this book in here so I can put things down, pick them up, but I never drop this. My heart's never going to get that full. I'm not going to let my heart get that full. This is not going to take over my life. It's part of my life. I can't get rid of it, so I'm not going to go around and make some big thing that you got an old nature. I really don't have. I do have an old nature, and so do you. And it's lousy. And it robs me of the good news and gets me into sorrow and grief and heartache because I'm trying to struggle through my work, my home, my job, my marriage. I don't want to let this down. I'll put this down, but not this. Do you understand that? Sorrow hath filled your heart, and there's nowhere for anything else to get in. Now, having said that, hopefully, God help us. Now, in the light of that, in verse 6, because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. And God, you're trying to help us. That's right. And that's why the Spirit of God is absolutely a necessity. And we shared that in Sunday school, remember. Christ died on the cross. I say it again. God the Son died on the cross. But you must understand that God in His fullness, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, went to the cross in His Son. And I cannot, when I honor the Son, Christ dying for me, I immediately must understand. That's why the Spirit of God says, Abba, Father, to the believing heart. I must get to the, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. To the Father. God the Father is involved with that cross. And God the Holy Spirit makes it work. And if I leave God the Father out, and I leave God the Holy Spirit out, I'm leaving God out in His fullness. And that's the one that saves you. That's the life that He gives you. The life of the Father, the life of the Son, the life of the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God makes it work. And it is impossible without the Spirit of God. Because then you're trying to say you can have God's wonderful person in life without God. And you can't do that. So now God, having looked at that a little bit and reminding ourselves, and keeping that in mind, over if you would please to John chapter 5. John chapter 5 again. And you will note, you know it, just see what it says. Again, verily, verily, most assuredly, amen, amen, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, judgment, but is passed from death unto life. The wonderful, wonderful moment you get saved. Now, Peter, James, and John, you guys in the upper room, you aren't, it's going to happen, but it hasn't happened yet. But you're going to get all discouraged. In fact, you know what's going to happen, don't you? When they go out the door and he goes to the garden, they're all going to disappear. And the trials, they're all gone. All gone. All, you're all going to forsake me. Because you don't understand the magnificence of it. Now, so here, John, God, what are you going to do? God, you're going to give us, when we come to know you as our Savior, our hands are full, and we recognize our hands are full, and God, if Elijah got a full heart, I don't have any room. But when I say, God, these dumb hands of mine are full, and I got nothing, God. When I'm all done, I'm still in darkness, I still don't have a relationship to you that saves me, and I'm stuck. And that's when I'm going to start getting ready to receive you as my Savior. And when I receive you as my Savior, what happens? I got no hands, nothing in my hands. I recognize God, all of it belongs on the cross. That's where it all belongs, my hands, God. You took all my stuff to the cross. And I receive you as my Savior. I do. And God, so I'm looking to you to do a work in my heart. And therefore, and what happens? I come to know the Lord as my Savior. Come to know the Lord as my Savior. And in the process, I discover I still have my old nature. And I'm on my way. Until whatever, someone, somehow, something comes in and I put it down. And the good news is missing. It isn't that I'm not saved. I just don't enjoy the good news. And the good news overrides everything. You couldn't say one thing right now in your life. Not one thing could you say out loud, if it was the thing to do. Could you say out loud that you could say about your life in any way, shape, or form, that God's good news, gospel, Christ in you, if you're saved, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not saved, is better and answers no matter what you say. If we follow what you say, where is it going to go? In the light of your old nature? No. God's good news in the person of Jesus Christ is good news. It overrides death. It overrides darkness. It's the life of God in the believing heart to be enjoyed and exercised and experienced. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so God, here we are, and though I'm going to go pass from death unto life. Now, isn't that exciting? What? Do it again. Chapter 6. Verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Verse 48. 49. Your father did eat manna in the wilderness. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and dead. Verse 50. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Over to chapter 11 quickly. Chapter 11. You know, God, you say it. Remember to Martha. Chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me shall never, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? See, I think that's exciting. He just told them, they're going to kill you. They're going to kill you. John 16, 2, 3. They're going to kill you. They're going to kick you out of the synagogue and kill you. Oh, no. Good news. You can't die. You can't die. Well, you can die physically. You know, you're going to die. So you die physically. All you did is stop enjoying pizza. You stop breathing, understand? You stop breathing, and you can't cut your fingernails. Alrighty? The rest of you inside here. So when you die, this part's earthly, cut off. But when you die, you're just as much alive in here, but you're gone. That's why we pronounce you dead, because we can't find you. And that never dies. Do you understand that? That's why you never die. Death is on this part. You already show it. You already show you're dead, everyone. You're all dead people. You know that? Because that's your dead skin, isn't it? Isn't that your... Any of you guys got living skin? No, you'd be all gooey. You have dead skin. Death. That's what you have. Well, God. Now, I just wanted to see that they didn't need to be sorrowful. They needed to make sure they kept good news. Always good, no matter what bad news. Radio, television, persons, places, things, doctors, lawyers, Indians, chiefs. Always good news, no matter what bad news. No matter how you cut the cookie, no matter when you cut the cookie, no matter whatever, God's wonderful person outranks, overrides, outweighs, overcomes all of the things in your head and heart. His ways and his thoughts are higher than the heavens. That's good news. And God isn't operating based on the world system, a satanic system, or your old nature. He's operating on his wonderful grace, in his grace and his mercy, to do wonderful things, if you let him, in your heart. That's what he wants. That's Christianity. That's why the church. The church is representing what? The good news. Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, thus in closing, and I sort of wonder, but, and you know all these things. Yeah, just a couple of them just off the top of my head. Think of James. James 1:2. Count it all joy when you fall into all kinds of trials, troubles. Count it what? All joy. Think of what we did in grace, Sunday school. All joy. Romans 8:28. What does that mean? All things work together for what? Well, here's all things over here, and God's going to take all the things to make them come out to his honor and his glory. That's good news, isn't it? I don't know. I think it's wonderful news. That's what I do. You know, wow. So therefore, God, we've got to close. Over, if you would, please. Oh, why not? 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And at chapter 5. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, would you please note, I'm going to go directly, if I can, to God's wonderful will for your life if you're saved. Verse 16, rejoice evermore, present tense, a command. Continue to keep going, it's a command. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop abiding, resting in the branch in the vine. Don't stop doing that. Present tense, a command. Nextly, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What is the will of God? To say thank you. You live it. You live it. When I was going up the stairs, or whatever, a Jew was there. I was saying, I do it when I go down the stairs and up the stairs. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. That's when I used to be super sure of everything. I'm not sure of anything anymore. Wonderfully sure of God. No question. So, thank you. Thank you. Isn't it good you can use the bathroom? I'm trying to hit you. Does it help? I'm trying to help you. Isn't it something that your system works? Are you thankful your system works? Because there are a lot of people it doesn't work. You ought to be thankful. You know the old thing we say it 1,000 times. You met a man, I complained to him because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no what? No feet. Now, God, thanksgiving. Good news. Good news in the midst of it all. Wonderful good news. The Lord Jesus said, you dummies, sorrow has filled your heart, and you can't understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to get you excited about what I'm doing for you. What's going to happen to you? You see? And with that, we'll close if I can. If the Lord were to take us right now, if you're saved, guess what a dynamic thing is going to happen to you. Read John 14, 1 and 2. I'm excited about you being where I am. Do you think it's exciting? Why is it exciting to be where he is? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Huh? See, God's going to go and take you and change the dynamic, the excitement. God's holy, happy, heavenly heaven is going to be what? Awesome. I'm looking forward to it. I don't deserve it, but neither do you. It's exciting. And that's how I go through whatever, and you go through it. Because this is not the end. This is just, I got to finish this off, and so do you, in this body of yours. And then God said, if you don't mind, you're never going to die. I want you to be with me. I want you to leave this body to be with me where I am. I think it's exciting. No? Our Father and God, we thank you for your kindness, grace, and the patience of these dear people, God. Encourage and help and stimulate us, God. God, we get so bogged down in the doldrums and boredom and bankruptcy of our own heart. And our God, help us. Thank you very much for loving us. Spirit of God, thank you. Thank you very much. As you honor our Lord and help us. And Father, there's no way we're going to give you the wonderment of just enjoying you as our Father. God, not without you, Spirit of God, and not without you, Lord, we can't enjoy our Father. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name. Amen.